Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. I know everyone is getting ready for Stand Sunday, or you're hearing a lot of buzz about focusing on foster care and adoption, especially in the month of November. So I wanted to bring in one of our experts today here at Sin Relief. Josh, thanks for joining me today. We're so grateful to have you and Emily just here working with us and being our friends. But Josh, you're the Vice President of Sin Relief. And so I just want you to share with our listeners about how God built your family, and we'll just kind of go from there.
No, thanks, Lynette. No, it's a joy to be at Sin Relief and to get to, you know, help churches engage in ministry all over the country. But, you know, this is also personal for us and our family. We have my wife, Emily, and I have been married almost 18 years. We have four kiddos. Two of which were adopted, and so that's how we started our family, was through adoption. And so it's personal for us.
You started your family through adoption.
We started our family through adoption. Our first was through the adoption process, and then we had a biological daughter, and then we adopted again, and we had a biological son. So it's funny. That was our initial hope. We wanted to start that way because we felt like if we didn't start that way, we may never go through the adoption process. And so I have my wife really to credit for that.
We hear a lot of that here.
That's exactly right. She let me know while we were still dating that this is going to go any further, you know, adoption's going to be a part of our family.
Here's what you're signing up for.
Yeah, and so I had it eyes wide open. Yeah. Knew that, you know, it was just a matter of when.
I love it.
Matter of when. So, no, it's personal for us, and even just the testimony of the support of the church. How critical that is for families who, you know, who are fostering or who have adopted. It's not necessarily something that we need everyone to understand what we're going through. We just need them to understand that we're going through something and we need help.
That's right.
So there's so many families that need the church to step in and just be a comfort and support and encouragement to them.
Yeah, you know, and I think something I found out in adoption is, as close as I am to my own family, like extended family, they couldn't shoulder all this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd support us, pray for us, loved us. They didn't know how to handle, you know, we talk a lot about behaviors or just traumas, that sort of thing. You do need support that can step in to try to understand a little bit more, but just to say, come and you all meet at our building and we're going to provide childcare, right?
That's right. That absolutely. And I mean, it's almost just like if a family was giving birth to a child, what would a church do?
Yeah.
And it's like that the families that are adopting and fostering need that same type. They need childcare, they need meals, they obviously prayer and encouragement, but you know, I think with adoption in particular, if a church can gain an understanding that adoption or foster care is at some level a result of tragedy, and know that, you know, it's on either side, that someone is experiencing loss, sometimes on both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
But that's such a critical understanding that a church can have, and to be empathetic to those needs. So at Sin Relief, we want to help churches do that, but we, for us and our family, it's personal, and it's something that was a great blessing to us, and something we still need. You know, 13 years later, it's still a need in our lives.
And, I hear you,
and that encouragement is really important.
Well, I've heard you say so many times, like in meetings, that you know you believe that. I don't know how exactly you said it, and you can correct me, but family. You believe that ministry to families and children is the foundation for really all we do at Sin Relief.
That's right. When you look at our five different focus areas, there's, you know, community ministry, and that can be everything from poverty to feeding ministries to health, all the different things, to, you know, refugees, to crisis response, to human trafficking. And when I say all of those are really, you know, a response to that a need that's already going on, usually it's adults and children. But when we look specifically at vulnerable families and children, that's where a lot of the root cause challenges are. I mean, we, you know, all the statistics about, you know, kids that go through the foster care system, you know, they're bouncing from family, or they just don't have a stable family, that, you know, their paths after they age out of the system are not good. I mean, it's everything from homelessness to incarceration to addiction to, you know, being trafficked. I mean, you look at the numbers, most of the individuals in those circumstances spent some time in the foster care system. So it's an opportunity for the church. There are needs in every community on this issue, and it's an opportunity for the church to step in. And, you know, we're called to care for the vulnerable. We're called to care for the fatherless. And so it's something that's in everyone's community. And sometimes we don't notice it. It's, you know, it's all about our context, and we have to search out those opportunities to serve.
Yeah, we were doing a vision tour one time, and I noticed, I've seen this in other states, but this one was just blatant, that they called it Department of Children's Services or something, was right next door to a Christian denomination office. I forgot what faith it, you know, I forgot what church it was, what denomination it was, but... And so I began to, of course, I had to go and meet somebody. You know, I had to step inside and know me. And they were involved, you know, our church plant was help working with them in foster care. But that group didn't even know them, didn't even buy. They were next door. You know, and I've seen that in a lot of states where sometimes the offices are even closed, right? And they have no idea what's going on down the street.
Well, that's one of the things with churches we often, I say, what's one of the first things we can do?
Yeah.
Like, well, where's your child welfare office?
Yeah.
And do you know who they are?
Wow. Like
that's, if you want to understand the needs, then those are the people who understand the needs. And so it's important, those connections. And sometimes it's, like you said, it's right under our nose or right next door. And just have to be intentional about those efforts.
Well, and you have been since you came to Sin Relief. You've brought with you, you've gotten us involved in FAM ministry. I love this. It's exactly what our families need. It's exactly how you and I've seen it living in another state where it was so, this kind of care was so big. And so I just want to ask you, like, especially in this post Roe v. Wade season, right? We're in a whole new era now of understanding this, and we're seeing the tide change. Kind of share with us and our listeners, if you want your church to get more involved, where do we begin? What can we do? You've made it easy for us, and that's why I want you to share that with us today.
Sure, and I think that's an important thing to note is, you know, we celebrate what's going on with Roe right now and that reversal, but we don't need to be deceived into thinking that the needs for vulnerable families and children are going away.
No, they're going to get worse.
It's potentially just going to be exasperated on a already stressed foster care system and adoption system in the United States. Right now, we have a strain. We don't have a crisis. But with the Roe reversal, we very well could in some states that, you know, those children that were previously aborted in today's environment may not, but the family may not be equipped to take care of them. They may not be wanted. Those things are still going to exist. And I think this is an opportunity for the church to continue in that pro-life movement in a very active and engaged way. The, you know, a family advocacy ministry, is a church-based ministry.
And what I love about this, if someone's really interested, they just give us a call, right?
Yeah, they can go to our website at sinrelief.org, and there's information on FAM. On our, we have a whole project page dedicated to FAM.
It's very thorough,
it
I think.
It's got, before you talk to anyone, you can get information on what FAM is, how to get started, you know, what the roles and responsibilities are. That's all on the website, but then you can contact us directly, and then we have FAM consultants that work directly with churches.
That's the part I love, the FAM consultants, because they're like, okay, we're going to help you do this.
Absolutely,
the right way. Yeah,
we have, and they just come on, they get you started, and what we've done is, you know, there's obviously cost that comes along with this to a church, and training cost and that sort of thing. You know, we're taking that off the table for the first year, so churches don't have to worry about that. There may be some minimal costs and things like that associated, but, you know, we want to make this as easy as possible and take all the restrictions or excuses or whatever they may be away. And so we'll provide the consultant, walk through, do the initial kind of screening to just see where they are, but also we we'll do some initial training and then connect them to, it's called a FAM affiliate. And so it's someone who's been doing this for a while.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And so it's not just someone saying, okay, practically, philosophically, here's what you do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
that didn't work for me.
That's
I'm
right.
just telling you, I need a little more hands-on help with things.
It's,
yeah.
it's someone who's saying, hey, we're doing this right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's where you start, mm-hmm. and it will mentor you on
yes.
all the way through. And so all of that's included, you know, when we begin engaging with churches. And then we also do trainings, webinars, you know, throughout the year. A lot mm-hmm. of them are focused on mm-hmm. How to start a FAM. We're in the first quarter of 23, we're going to be rolling out some interactive training on, setting the biblical framework mm-hmm. for caring for vulnerable children and how churches can take practical steps to get involved. So we want to make sure the church is equipped, mm-hmm. going in with eyes wide open, but also having the support that they need to start that type of ministry.
And as we get into 2023, that'll be even more added to the website on sinrelief.org.
Yes. Yep. Everything is, it's always on sinrelief.org. What's the newest and or what's up and coming is uh-huh. always there on the homepage. But and go to sinrelief.org or Google Send Relief FAM, and it'll come right up, and you can get started reviewing information, get started on training, and talking to one of our consultants.
You know, and if you're adoptive or foster family in your church, and there's really no one else there, mm-hmm. You know, we all understand that,
yeah.
right? But you see someone in your church that, you know, you can see they have a passion for this,
yeah.
or they care, they show concern. That might be a person you can whisper in their ear and say, hey,
yeah.
do you think that we could get this? You know, this mom, this family that has a placement, they may not have the capacity to do that right
yeah.
now. But if you see a person that does, share it with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I always say, share it with a friend. And I mean that.
That's
like,
right.
Because people want to help. But like you said, they bring different things to the table
mm-hmm.
in the way that they can help.
Yeah. I think it's a simple piece of advice for a church, even, you know, before they ever think about FAM, is if they learn that there's an adoptive or fostering family in their church, just acknowledge them and ask them how they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think if churches can begin to recognize that there's,
mm-hmm.
Different things going on in those families' lives than what they would consider a typical family. Every family has struggle. Specifically, if they learn there's an adoptive or fostering family in their church, just, you know, reach out to them, try to encourage them, ask them if there's anything they can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's been such an encouragement to us and others
right.
that we know in that adopting and fostering community. But absolutely, if you're noticing in your church that, hey, we've got, you know, a couple families that have adopted or these folks are interested, getting a group together to provide support to them or a space where they can, you know, feel safe and connect and communicate and talk through what's going on in day-to-day life. That's a huge ministry opportunity for the church and to benefit the members of your church and others.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, you know, families who've adopted or fostering look for that in the church.
Yeah, they do.
It's the same thing with there's so many special needs ministries,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing in children's ministry right now. Families that have that dynamic are looking for churches that can minister in that way and that they can be a part of and find community.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think a lot of pastors I've noticed are kind of blown away by if they're not, you know, if this hasn't been a part of their life in the past, right, to understand adoption mm-hmm. or foster care, they're really kind of blown away by that. But every pastor, church staff I've been around, once they realize that, like, oh, they're coming here because we provide the, you just see it begin to just blossom.
That's
like,
right.
It's incredible. It's just been amazing. And I'm just, like I said before, I'm just deeply, deeply excited about this and to
yeah.
see how it can grow.
You know, one of the things that's really important for us at Send Relief is we provide mission opportunities all over the United States, North America, and really with our partnership with the International Mission Board internationally.
Right.
But what our primary goal is for churches to replicate and own ministry within their own community. And so a FAM is a way that a church can do that. It's a church-owned ministry, and it is directly focused on vulnerable families and children. And that moves all the way from, you know, at-risk families to foster families to adoptive families. It's, you know, FAM is a blueprint and a framework to help churches develop ministry in any one or all of those different areas. So we look at three different things. One, you know, for a FAM to work, it has to have pastor buy-in.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
no doubt about it.
That's right. I've tried to do it without it. It didn't
it
work.
It doesn't work. And so we, if pastors usually understand this, they just need somebody in their church to take ownership of it. And so once we have pastor buy-in, then we work with the pastor to identify an advocate within the church that's really the organizer to get the thing moving. But there's three different types of ministry, and we call it prevention, intervention, and connection. And so if you look at it in these three different categories, there are three different types of ministries. Prevention is exactly what it sounds. It's very descriptive in that.
I love it, though.
It's, you know, supporting the vulnerable family to prevent a child from going into the foster care system. That can't always happen, but it's a way churches can get involved. One, like I said a minute ago, just getting to know the local child welfare office and workers and the needs. And so it can be as easy as offering the church's space as a place for a child welfare officer, a biological family, and a foster family to meet. They have to have scheduled meetings all the time. So it's just maybe just offering space. That simple. Providing a meal in those circumstances. And in other cases, it may be mentoring. It might be mentoring that biological family that's struggling, whether that's a family unit with a mom and a dad, or if it's a single mom or a single parent that's working through this. Mentoring is definitely a need, so there's resources to equip churches on how to mentor in those circumstances. So that's the prevention side. We know that that's not always feasible, and so it does move into a fostering category. And so when you look at prevention and intervention, you're really kind of doing both. You have the opportunity to mentor biological families and parents, but also to help recruit foster families out of your church, also to provide care to those foster families, what we were talking about a minute ago, the, you know, providing respite and care for the foster family to give them a break. It's also some training on the churches just to understand trauma and to understand that, you know, a child that's going through a child that's either eligible to be fostered or adopted has experienced trauma.
That's right.
And loss and all of those things. So help the church understand that. But then as we move into connection, that's the phase where there's a permanent transition into adoption. And so it's that same, you know, recruiting parents who might be interested in adoption. Not every parent who fosters feels called to adoption and vice versa, and that's okay. But, you know, it's to recruit parents who might be interested in either one. But then providing that wraparound support, and that's a long-term thing. I think for our family, something that's so valuable for us that's been just hard to replicate since, you know, we moved a couple of years ago is finding that community of adoptive mom and dads and families who, you know, it's a safe space where you can, you know, talk about what you're experiencing at home and people don't look at you like you're crazy.
That's right. I know. So, and they say, here, this worked for us. You want to try this?
Share
ideas. I mean, it's like it's golden to you when someone shares things with you.
It really is. They relate. There's empathy there.
That's right.
And everybody understands.
Yeah.
It may not match up exactly, but everybody can understand, you know, what everyone's going through. So those are kind of the three areas of a FAM. A church doesn't have to do all of them. I think that's the beautiful thing about FAM is, you know, we can work with one church to do, you know, to help with mentoring or recruiting foster families. Or, you know, we have some churches that, hey, we want to do all of it.
Yeah.
And they come alongside and want to do all of it. Or it's an opportunity for churches to work together. I mean, there's, and especially where we are in the Southeast, there's churches all over the place. And this is an opportunity for them to connect and mm-hmm. each, you know, shoulder a portion of this and work collaboratively together for the good of their community and ultimately for the sake of the gospel.
So it's in 33 states now.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
it has really
states.
Grown.
Yeah, it's almost 1,300 FAMs in 33 states. And we didn't start FAM. I think
right.
it's important. We partner with an organization called Promise 686. They started it, and then they've taught us what to do.
Oh, yeah, why
and
reinvent the wheel?
That's exactly
that's right.
right. It's a biblically gospel-based ministry. It's church-based. It aligns with us theologically, philosophically.
Yes.
And so we've worked with them. They've developed the model and trained us on how to replicate it.
I love it.
And so it's a fantastic ministry model, and it's just amazing to see how it's grown all
yeah.
over the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, some things that a FAM could look like,
mm-hmm.
It could just be a prayer group.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. It's, you know, every ministry should be started with prayer.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's a lot of times, whether it's a family who's interested in adopting or fostering or a church that wants to jump into this, they jump in with both feet, which is good, but sometimes they take off more than they can
yeah.
chew. And
yeah.
so, you know, we encourage churches in all of our ministry to really take a step back, pray through it, understand what your church is gifted at,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, start with prayer. But then, again, it can go back to just relationally connecting to your local child welfare office.
I just can't emphasize that enough.
That's right.
And it's taken me years to build those relationships.
Yeah.
And there's a big turnover there.
It's a hard job.
It is.
I mean, you imagine, you know, just what they see day in and day out
mm-hmm.
From, you know, poverty,
yeah.
abuse, neglect, drug abuse. I mean, loss of mm-hmm. life, loss of job. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're seeing all kinds of things mm-hmm. that are hard for anybody to wrap their mind around. And they're trying to help families and
yes.
children sort it out. It's a tough job, and they
it
need
is.
Encouragement and support. And there's no better group in a community to do that than a church.
Right,
so,
right.
So yeah, it can start with prayer, obviously. Also working with a child welfare office
mm-hmm.
awareness
mm-hmm.
Is understanding the needs of a community, but also understanding, you know, what a child or a family that you would be ministering to is bringing with them.
That's good.
It's, you know, we want to be really clear that, yes, Scripture calls us as the church to care for the fatherless. It calls us to care for the vulnerable. It doesn't call us all to do it the same way
mm-hmm.
and to all play the same role, but it's important to have an understanding of what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, this, you know, as Jesus said in the book of Luke, is that, you know, you don't want to start a construction project without knowing what the cost is
yeah.
going to be. And it's
yeah.
the, you know, understanding what's involved mm-hmm. in this, understanding your church's gifts and passions, understanding the needs
mm-hmm.
of the community that you're looking to serve, and how can you meet them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just someone to put their arm around you. I am just praying this continues to grow, because I think it's just a beautiful model. Because I look back now, Josh, on when we would jump in with feet first,
yeah.
and so many things I did wrong, you know. And this really helps you, like you said, just this model, mainly because I know there's that person in most almost all of our churches that God begins to stir their heart
mm-hmm.
about the needs of the vulnerable. And I just want our churches in these, you know, difficult days ahead, maybe for our country, I want churches to be able to say, this family is struggling, but we're going to help them stay together.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know, and I think that's, I just really pray that's something we see more in our churches.
I agree. I think, you know, I think we read Scripture and we see, you know, all the way through
mm-hmm.
that God has called his people to care
mm-hmm.
for the fatherless, for the widow,
mm-hmm.
for the vulnerable. And around the fatherless in particular, we say, oh, that's, I don't feel called to adopt or foster. So
mm-hmm.
that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ways to
serve. A million serve, other ways.
to serve. And there's plenty of people who are called to adopt and foster that should and be encouraged to do so. There's plenty of people who should not.
Yep.
But there's all the church can come around families who do have that calling
mm-hmm.
and encourage and support and take care of struggling families that are at risk of breaking apart, because we know God's design is for a healthy family dynamic.
That's right.
And if we can, you know, work with at-risk families and keep them together, that is, you know, helping, you know, in and encouraging God's design for family and for communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're beginning to understand more about the children who've been in the system, the care they're going to need as they leave the system, about families who are struggling and how the church can step into that, how kids need mentors. There's so many ways we can serve, and the church is full of people who God equips to do this.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks,
Lynette,
for
having me. I'm so grateful for your time. I know you're super busy. Every time I see you, you're just running around.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm excited that Sin Relief is, you know, moving forward with FAM and seeing the growth already.
Oh, the growth's been incredible.
It's something. This type of ministry is in every community. It's something that every church can do.
Absolutely. And you know, if you're someone, like I said earlier, and you see someone in your church, and you're thinking, because I've been there, we could organize this a little better, or we just need a little help, contact us at Sin Relief. Go on the website, look at FAM, F-A-M Ministry, and let us help you get this going in your local church. Because even if you, starting small is how I've always done it, mm-hmm. and it really works.
That's right. We always tell churches, you don't have to have a grand plan
no,
to get started.
Right.
Start small and build.
That's right. Take the next step that God calls you to do. Well, thanks for joining us today. Just want to leave you with this again. If you know someone in your church that might be interested in getting involved in FAM ministry, just share this with them. Direct them to sinrelief.org, and we'd love to help you get started.